Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
Time for another Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Lee, Retirement Income Planning Specialist at Mach 1 Financial Group, serving you in Northwest Arkansas. Mach-1financial.com is the website where you can go to listen to past podcasts, future ones as well. And you can also call to talk with the team about your financial situation at any point in time at 479-876-2100. David, thanks for joining us on the podcast this week. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, Walter, doing great. How are you?
Doing really well. I know that this is almost a silly topic to have on today's podcast because you're such an optimistic, positive guy. I don't know how you'd have the worldview that is sort of a glass half empty kind of thing. So we should just wrap this up right here. This the podcast today is, do you see certain financial or retirement planning issues as glass half full or glass half empty? But I have a feeling, you know, you're just such a positive guy. It's going to be hard to get you to go to that other side.
Absolutely.
Well, let's play the game anyway and see where we end up. The stability of Social Security and the system itself, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of that system?
Well, even though I'm an optimistic guy, as you said, as it relates to Social Security, I'm not very optimistic. And the reason is pretty simple. It's a four-letter word. It's just based on math, M-A-T-H. And what I mean by that is we've got a demographic problem relative to Social Security. The baby boom generation was the largest generation in U.S. history. And unfortunately, the baby boomers didn't have as many children as their parents had. And Social Security is a system that is primarily funded through the payroll tax system. So in other words, you got to have people in the system working, paying payroll tax in order to be able to fund those checks that are going to current recipients of Social Security. Yes, there's money in the Social Security Trust Fund as well. That's true. That's where a lot of the money comes from. But if you read your Social Security statement carefully, you'll notice that even the government admits that that trust fund is projected to run out of money. I think it's in the early 2020s, if I remember correctly. And the government is usually overly optimistic on their projections. So there's a good chance that that trust fund may run out even sooner than what they project. Now, unfortunately, I'm fairly pessimistic on the stability of the Social Security system. Now,
you blew up my theory right out of the gate.
Right. Now, am I saying that I think that your Social Security checks are going to get cut or disappeared? No, I'm not, because Social Security is one of those benefits that is virtually politically impossible to touch or to change. So I'm not saying that I think your checks are going to go away, but I am saying that the stability of the system, the money used to pay for it, is not very stable because of the financial condition in the country and the amount of money that's in that Social Security Trust Fund. So something's going to have to give somewhere, somehow, most likely in the form of tax increases, payroll tax increases, to help to stabilize that system. And or you're going to see the government begin to slowly increase the eligibility age of younger people, you know, increasing the age at which they're going to be eligible to take those benefits. So we'll see. I'm not real optimistic on the system itself, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're not, sky is falling on it, but you're also not very optimistic on it, it sounds like. So you're not playing the alarmist, maybe, that many do, but
no.
But certainly not all gung-ho about it either, so that's good. All right, optimistic or pessimistic about this next thing, David? Healthcare affordability in the future. I may be wrong on all of these. You might just be really pessimistic.
Now, on this, you know, if you asked me this question a year ago, I probably would have had a different answer. Today, I'm relatively optimistic about this because we have a president in the office who's a businessman and understands the value of free market forces and competition. And when you bring free market forces and competition back into the marketplace, prices come down. So I think that if they're able to implement some of the changes to healthcare and specifically to Obamacare, such as making insurance companies compete across state lines, health savings accounts, in other words, having higher deductible but affordable health insurance plans with health savings accounts, that will bring free market forces back to play into healthcare, because if people have to pay out of their own pocket for the first $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 using their health savings accounts, that's going to cause them naturally to go to the lowest cost provider. So naturally, prices will come down over time due to competition. So I'm optimistic actually about that. If the current administration is successful in implementing some of their free market changes to healthcare. So we'll see.
We're talking with David Lee about here on the Mach 1 podcast about whether you view things as, you know, an optimistic point of view, a pessimistic point of view. Is the glass half empty or half full on these different topics? You surprised me a little bit there with the healthcare one. After the start that we got, I thought we were going to go pessimistic again. All right, how about this next one? I have a pretty good feeling about which way you're going to go with this one based on your answer to the healthcare one. Tax rates in the next decade. I know this has been really fluid as of late, yes. And there have been a lot of things proposed that might influence your opinion here, but what's your sort of optimistic level about tax rates?
I'm optimistic, as you might have correctly guessed, on tax rates in the next decade. I'm glad you've got that qualifier on it. I think in the relatively short term, and I would call, you know, the next 10 years to be the relatively short term to medium term. So in the short to medium term, I'm optimistic about tax rates. We're seeing it already, right? I mean, it's one of the major items that President Trump ran on was to lower the corporate tax rate and the individual tax rate and the small business tax rate. All that, I am optimistic is going to happen because, you know, he does have a Republican-controlled House and Senate, which should make it easier to get that through. We'll see. I know they ran into some challenges recently on the healthcare bill, but I'm optimistic that they'll be able to get this one through. So I'm optimistic on tax rates within the next decade. After that, all bets are off primarily because of what we talked about on Social Security earlier. It is a math problem with Social Security. It is a demographic problem with Social Security. And absent a major growth in the economy, something's got to give there. And most likely it means tax rates, payroll tax rates specifically, will most likely have to go up down the road. But I'm optimistic about it over the next decade.
Well, that's good to hear, and I think there will be a lot of movement probably in that area, not only in the near future, but there's always going to be kind of that flowing happening there with tax rates going to be going and trending momentum in one direction or another. All right, let me throw one last thing, whether to be optimistic or pessimistic about it here in the future, and that would be the stock market, and let's bracket it to, let's just say, the next 5 years. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the stock market?
Yeah, I'm optimistic there as well. Again, I might have had a different answer if we had had a different outcome in the recent election, but we have, for the first time ever, we have a businessman / entrepreneur in the White House who understands what it takes to make an economy grow, or I should say, more accurately, what it takes to make a business grow. And as businesses grow, the economy naturally grows. And as businesses grow, they add employees. And that rising tide tends to lift all boats. You know, I was watching TV this morning, and I saw an interview by the ex-CEO the former CEO of Sun Microsystems. And he had a great quote, which I love. He said, you know, the worst CEO in the position of president is 1,000 times better than the best politician in that same position. So I'm very optimistic that we have an experienced CEO that has run successful businesses in the past. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump doesn't matter to me. The fact of the matter is he has run a successful business. He does have the right ideas for growing the economy. The question is going to be, can he get the Congress on board and get them to pass the agenda items that he's trying to get passed to help the economy grow? So assuming that we can, you know, get these corporate tax cuts passed, as well as fixing Obamacare, as well as repatriating corporate cash held overseas, which is also part of his tax plan, as well as bringing jobs back, controlling illegal immigration, which hurts the American worker and the American economy. All those things are going to be extraordinarily positive if we can indeed get Congress on board and get some of these items fixed. That combined with the fact that demographics are about to be positive for the first time in a long time. I've said it many times on this show. Demographics to me are everything in our economy because we're a consumer spending driven economy. The typical consumer peaks in spending between 45 to 50 years of age. So if you can predict that that 45 to 50 demographic group is going to be growing, you can predict that the economy will be pretty healthy. Birth rates bottomed out in 1973 and after the baby boom. We had the baby bust from the early 60s to 1973. Then after that, birth rates bottomed out and began climbing every year after 73. 45 years after 1973 is 2018. So potentially as early as next year, we should begin to see steadily improving consumer spending trends just due to demographic forces alone. So for those reasons, with the president and the Congress that we have in charge right now, and combined with demographic trends that are about to be positive, I am optimistic about the next 5 years.
Well, it's good to hear that you're actually pretty optimistic about a lot of these things, David, despite maybe the pessimism that you have for the future Social Security system and its stability and health. But there is still a lot to be optimistic about in the landscape out there, and it's good to hear your opinions on those kinds of things. If you are maybe optimistic or pessimistic about some of these items and you'd like to discuss them with David and the team at Mach 1 Financial Group and talk about how it might apply to your financial situation, is it a good thing that David is pessimistic on Social Security or optimistic about the stock market? How would that play into your retirement plans? Always worth a conversation about that, and you can reach out to the Mach 1 team by calling 479-876-2100. That's 479-876-2100, or you can always find us online at mach-1financial.com. That might be even where you're listening to the podcast today, and that's great. Right there on the page, you can connect with us there, mach-1financial.com. David, appreciate the help as always, and we'll look forward to talking to you on a future podcast.
All right, Walter.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
That's David Lee of Mach 1 Financial Group. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. And we'll talk to you again next time on the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the Commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.